welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hi, welcome to episode 373 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
We're good. How are we?
I'm fine. I'm contemplating haircut number three that I've done myself. I think it's getting a little bit long again. I know barbers are open, but I'm not sure what the queue is like at the moment, or there's a kind of booking system.
That's my you can only get one in the shop at a time, can't you? That kind of thing.
Yeah, apparently. I haven't even looked into it, to be honest. But apart from that, I'm all good. How's Trix? You all right?
Very good. I have to show you this. This is my lockdown experiment. This is five litres of organic wine.
Flip the neck. Well, yeah, I mean, this is a podcast, but just a reminder for listeners that are on iTunes that we do record these and put them on YouTube now. So, you can see that through our website. But, yeah, you just show me, Sean's just showing me a massive, how many litres of wine is that?
Five. I've got this fancy, see, if I can, because I make bread and we've done the butter and we can make cheese, so we could actually have a picnic of everything that we've made ourselves, including the wine, see, so perfect.
My environmental journey is taking me down the route of growing food and how much I might need to grow at some point to, you know, feed the family and all that stuff. And looking into speaking to local suppliers and all that stuff. So it's fascinating. I'm thinking about getting a little miniature greenhouse to do some experimenting in the autumn and winter.
It's worth doing things like sprouting seeds, because seeds are dead easy to get. I mean, even things like sunflower seeds, even anything like that, you can sprout it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, anything. And once they sprout, they're really nutritious and they're beautiful to like stir fry or to make into salads. You know, peas.
Fascinated by all that stuff. We should do an episode somehow, like getting in kind of nutrition and food and that kind of blue zone stuff. You know, where people that eat food that's grown closer to them kind of seem to live longer and happier and healthier lives, don't they?
But there's a whole area in psychology about food and mood, how food affects the way we're feeling. Which is real. Yeah, right. It's good.
All right, note to self, we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. We're talking about crying today. This was Sean's idea. I don't know whether he's had a good blubber lately or not. Maybe he's watched a movie that set him off or something like that, or he stubbed his toe. Who knows? We'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Do get in touch as well if there's anything you'd like us to discuss. If you can hear any tapping away in the background, I'm not sure if that came through. That's my we've moved our guinea pigs through to the room here, so I've got a couple of guinea pigs just around the corner, so I do apologize for any interruptions.
Have they got those treadmill things that they go on?
No, it's just the little water thing they have, you know, where there's a little metal ball at the end of it to release the water, so it's just them tapping away.
See, now, I've always thought that when you keep animals like that, if you have that little treadmill and you connect it up to a generator, you could be producing electricity and charging batteries at the same time.
Now you're talking. Well, yeah, I mean, that leads me on to what we've been up to. I've just had a week away in Northumberland. We've got a caravan up there, so it's the time of year where me and the family all escape up to the northeast. It was gorgeous. But yeah, we survived for a whole week. Without electricity, but we've got these little fold-out solar panels to charge the phones. Yeah, we got through a week easy, man, with enough juice to get all our shots and all my Twitter action and all that stuff. So yeah, it's cool.
So and could you actually go online and watch things then?
Well, you could just through my phone on 4G, because there's decent 4G coverage up there now, so I can watch YouTube and stuff for a little bit and all that. But, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, Yeah, there's not enough. I need to find a way to charge this laptop, which I think now that I've got a newer laptop or a brand new laptop, it's a bit lower energy than my old one. So the wattage than it needs. Mm-hmm. So I can get a portable battery that will power this and that I can charge that battery in the sun. So living off grid, yeah. Loving it.
Yeah, one of the guys in one of the factories I cover has just got himself a Tesla, which mm-hmm. now does 300 miles on a charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's talking about the million mile battery that they're talking about, actually being able to produce a battery that will last for a million miles in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of well, I think they degrade very little, Tesla batteries, if you look after them a lot. Back in the day when I was interested in electric cars, but. Yeah, they're amazing bits. I think it'll keep you. There's enough energy in those batteries to charge a phone for about 24 years, I believe. A lot of electricity flowing underneath those, under the seats he's sitting in. Yeah, impressive stuff. But yeah, don't talk to me about cars. It's a car. I don't want to hear about it anymore. What have you been up to, Sean? You okay?
Yeah, just things are starting to ease up lockdown-wise, which is good. We got family coming into the bubble, which has been good. So trying to kind of normalise as much as possible. And it's good to see people kind of breaking out of the lockdown. And let's hope that we don't spike enough to come back into the lockdown is the deal, isn't it? Mm.
That would be disastrous, wouldn't it, I think? But, yeah, there are signs from other places around the world that when you restrict things or you unrestrict things, sure enough, it comes back because it hasn't gone anywhere. But,
not good.
Strange times.
Yeah.
Why do you want to talk about crying, Sean? This was you that you've written a blog post and sent that through.
Well, over the lockdown, I've had more and more people crying, especially fellas who will only cry. Kind of to me, but wouldn't cry to anybody else. You know, sometimes they can't hold it back. For all kinds of reasons. I mean, people cry for all kinds of reasons. But the thing that really, really struck me was how many people, both men and women, get emotional and cry and then apologise for crying. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, why are you so sorry? It's like you need to cry. Cry. And it struck me that we have this huge inhibition about being emotional, and at times like this, a lot of emotion around, we need to let it go and not hold it, you know? Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my question, which I asked you before we started, which we need to address, is do you cry?
No, I'm not just saying this just to be all tough and manly, but no, I'm as a child, I was quite a big crier actually, and I was a proper little mummy's boy, and I would lose sight of my mum in a supermarket or whatever for 5 seconds, and I would just start to panic and start crying. But for some reason, I don't know, the age of 15, 16, 17, I don't want to use the phrase toughened up, because I'm conscious that we're going to come onto things that you might be kind of, I don't know why I stopped crying, but basically I don't cry at all anymore. Nothing sets me off. There's the odd situation in a film that will get me going. But very, very little else in real life will. Although I will say that I have experienced very little death in my personal life. You know, and obviously personally, I haven't died yet. You've probably realized, but you know, my mum and dad are still here, even my grandma and grandpa. I lost my other grandparents when I was quite young, but I haven't lost immediate family, so I'm not really sure what will happen when that happens. So I guess that's the big test for me. But yeah, I don't know, why are men less likely to be criers than women, for example?
Yeah, but we still do it, don't we? Big boys don't cry. You know, don't be a wuss. Stop doing that, you know. When I was a kid, it was stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. That was a good one. Whereas that idea that men feel like they're being weak if they show emotion. I mean, very often in therapy, it's much better for a man to work with a female therapist because they haven't got a kind of testosterone issue with another man. So they can be emotional with a woman, and that's okay. Whereas if they come and see me, they've got to leave their testicles outside the door as that when they come in, so they can just be in their emotional self. Now, not all men can do that. You know? They've got to be tough.
I mean, yeah, thinking about my two little lads who are 8 and 5. So the 8-year-old doesn't cry that much now, you know, except when he really wants to throw his toys out of the pram. Jacob, his little brother, does cry a lot more frequently because he's younger. But it's mainly not for attention, I would say, but, you know, generally just to kind of get his own way. So dealing with that is interesting because, yeah, you don't want to be that parent that just is just trying to get them to stop crying just, you know, because he's a man or because he's a boy or, you know, big boys don't cry, like you said.
Yeah.
Partly it's sometimes out of like embarrassment if it's in a public place, you know, and he's crying. Yeah. He just wanted to be quiet. That kind of thing.
So, yeah.
Is it just a phase that all children go through, you know, crying for attention initially when they're babies and then they grow up?
No, I think there is a crying for attention. One of the things that you can tell when you're looking at crying later on in life, when a child is young and needs to be fed and attended to, they would cry and the parents would be attentive to them. Okay? You know, food, whatever, discomfort. When you watch people when they're older, people that cry really loudly, like, and it becomes a big deal, are people that had to do that when they were younger to get the attention. So it can feed right the way through. But overall, crying is a good thing. We see it as a bad thing or as something that we should, you know, someone's crying, we say, stop, have a cup of tea. And we should be saying, no, come on, let it go. Don't stop it. Let it go. Let it out. Get rid of it. You know? And it's because we hold too much stuff. And that holding it can actually kill us. It can make us ill. It's horrible. You know, we need to let it go. Yeah.
My wife is an unbelievable crier. So she'll just cry at anything, especially during lockdown. You know, we were unaffected in terms of actually contracting the virus or any of our immediate family. But you know, you're watching the news every night when it was really kicking off. They would always do some quite, you know, harrowing tales of stories, not necessarily sad stories, but stories of heroism or, you know, people doing lovely things for their community. And almost every night I would look across to Beth and my missus, my wife, and she'd be blubbering away, crying away, you know, and sort of apologizing to me. But and everything sets Beth off when she's watching telly or movies and all sorts. Yeah.
But she still needs to apologize for it.
I don't think she doesn't actually apologize, but you can tell she's a bit embarrassed about it. You know, she's kind of looking at me and half crying, half laughing. But her dad, my father-in-law, is really an emotional guy as well. You know, we take the mickey out of him, you know, because anything will set him off as well. But at the same time,
those big boys don't cry. Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm a little bit jealous because, you know, he's obviously got some kind of real emotional connection with stuff going on that I wish I had in some ways. So I am a little bit jealous of him.
Well, I'm a blubber.
Oh yeah.
I'm the dad the kids are embarrassed to take to the movies. Because if anyone's going to be blubbing, it's going to be me. I can remember there was a thing, Elliot's dragon, and Elliot had to say goodbye to his dragon and I was in bits. It was only a cartoon and the kids were like, oh my God, you're so embarrassing, I'm not taking you anymore. Yeah.
So what do you put your emotional connection down to, your crying?
I think that in some ways, and this kind of goes against the big boys thing, is that because I was brought up with three sisters, I tended to be more like a girl as a kid than a boy. So I'd as a kid, I didn't really have any boyfriends. I had lots of girlfriends, you know, right through primary school and secondary school. only had a couple of boyfriends, but they were all girls. So that in many ways, I was treated like and brought up like one of the girls, and that was okay for me. But it's left me with that kind of legacy of it's okay to be emotional. It's not a problem. I could quite easily blob at things. But I see that as a natural letting go, you know. How many times do we see chaps that are holding? They're being tired.
Is there any... I did do a little bit of research before we came online for this. And I did read, you know, there's a Time article that I'm going to link to, which kind of explains that... or. It can't explain. I think there is a lot of a lack of like real scientific understanding of crying, from what I've seen.
It depends where you go. It depends where you go. It does. There's been quite a lot of research on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're strange creatures, aren't we? Because there aren't any other animals, as far as we know, that have, you know, you can tell in animals, you know, my guinea pigs, for example, that they do have a certain emotional level. You can tell when they're a little bit nervous and afraid, and when they're hungry, and when they're excited, you can tell. But they don't cry, or they don't laugh. So what's different about humans?
Well, out of all the primates, I mean, primates' eyes will water. If they're irritated, they'll water. But the actual act of crying is very different. And it's because we have different cortex in the brain, so we produce more hormones, endorphins, up this end, and the stress hormones are quite dangerous. They can actually damage your body. They damage your cardiovascular system, and you need to get rid of them. And there's some that are produced up this end. The easiest way to get rid of them is through your eyes, so you excrete them through your eyes. So if you actually take tears of joy, sadness, happiness, loss, bereavement, and you analyze the chemicals, they're different. And it depends on what chemistry is being excreted. Yeah, they're not all the same. And the evidence is that if you don't excrete those chemicals, then they have that issue of like hardening arteries and affecting your cardiovascular system generally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the my thing is this: is that down at the equator, where everyone's like, yeah, manana, isn't it fine? And there's food to burn, you can eat whenever you want. Everyone's really emotional, happy, and free. The further north you go up the earth, the more logical people become, and the less emotions people are allowed to have. And that's to do with the practicalities of being organized. Because if the barns are not full come harvest, we're all dead come the spring, because there's nothing to eat. So that we in effect sacrificed emotion for survival. So that and we actually say, don't we, the British stiff upper lip, yeah? Because you keep your lip, you know, you don't let your lip quiver. You have to have a stiff upper lip to survive. And that's where it comes from, I think, yeah? The further north you go, the worse it becomes, yeah? The further south you go, the more emotional, volatile, sharing, and people are prepared to cry, tears of passion. You know, if you see a funeral in the Middle East, people drape themselves on the coffin and rent their clothes. They whoop, they wail, they let the emotions go. If you see a funeral up here, most people are dressed in black and walk like penguins behind a box. Mm. And if someone does get emotional, it's a bit like they've let the side down. Mm. You know, we're supposed to be stoical and get through.
Yeah, and you think that's in part to do with geography?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's to do with geography and survival. I think that's where it comes from. And one of the things that I wonder, because I'm looking, especially in lockdown, at the older generation. There's lots of people in their 90s into 100 who I like Captain Bob, whatever his name was, who did the 100 things a day, you know, to get his millions of pounds.
I've forgotten his name already.
What's his name?
I can't remember. Yeah, we know what you mean, though.
He spoke of that kind of stoicism and that kind of grit and keeping going is something that the younger generations don't necessarily have, but they haven't had to deal with the same kind of need to be less emotional to survive. So I've actually had people that have been in bits because they're not going to be able to get their Botox done and their lip fillers and their faces falling apart. And they're actually on their knees in misery because they can't go online because people are going to see how they look. And they look absolutely awful. I'm looking at them and thinking, actually, I think you look quite good. Mm. You know? And that kind of thing, the more we become industrialized, urbanized, the more technology we have, maybe the less need we have to be stoical. Mm. You know, we don't have to worry about food. You go down the supermarket any day of the year and get strawberries, you know?
Yeah.
It's different. Changing, perhaps. Yeah.
Along, yeah. I was just trying to think of some of the hilarious ways that my little boy, my youngest, there's some of the funny things he's cried at recently. So I think when we were on holiday last week, we were walking back from the beach down this little dusty track that leads to our caravan site. And I think, yeah, he realized he dropped his a stone he'd found at the beach. Because when we go to the beach, we look for nice shells and pebbles and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He had this stone that he'd found, and he'd had it in his hand, and he dropped it on the way along this, you know, this bumpy, dusty, stony track as I'm looking out, and he's dropped it somewhere along there. So we walked back a little way, but you could just tell his little bottom lip was going, and he just bawled his eyes out because he couldn't find his little stone. I didn't do too much to kind of, I wasn't like, stop crying, don't be silly. I was, you know, he's a little lad, isn't he? And if he wants to cry about his stone, then let him, because it's quite cute, really. But won him round again. You know, we'll find another stone tomorrow when we go back to the beach and all that stuff. But I wonder when the last time when the last time I cried over a lost stone or a pebble or a seashell was.
Can you remember the last time you cried over anything?
No, I can't actually. No, I mean, yeah, I do shed the odd like tear or two in a movie. We watched the movie Up quite recently.
Oh, right, yeah.
Pixar, balloons over the house.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in that where early on in the movie, the first 10, 15 minutes are just incredible. But it's like you see this, the story of the couple's life, and as they're kind of growing up a little bit, and they get married, and then they come to the point where they want to have children, and they're painting the nursery ready for it. And then the camera kind of pans across into this doctor's surgery where you can see that they're being told that they can't have children. And that gets me every time, man. Yeah, it's just flipping heck. Mm-hmm. What a scene. That makes me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
How about you? Can you remember the last time you...
I do a Bethan. I can be watching the news and suddenly I can feel tears rolling down my face. Thinking, ah! It's the good things that set you off more than the bad things. You know, when someone's done something amazing for other people, you think,
But you haven't cried over a lost pebble lately, have you?
No, haven't collected too many pebbles lately.
You're missing out. I mean, in terms of the people that you see in your little consulting room there, do you encourage them to cry, or do you see that as a natural, is it just something that happens to everyone that comes through your door?
Yeah, no, lots of people end up crying in therapy at some point, which is why the therapist's friend is a box of tissues. So that you have to make sure that people feel okay to cry. This has to be a safe place. It's a holding environment where people can come in and just be what they need to be and not feel bad about it. So crying is good for me. I mean, one of the things that I believe, I know some scientists have kind of looked at it a little bit, is that women live longer than men, generally. And one of the issues appears to be that because men don't cry and hold things, that they wear their bodies out earlier, whereas women are much easier with crying. And it comes back to cardiovascular issues, which lead to hearts and lead to dementias and stuff like that. And I'm sure the more we get to understand the systems that we live in, that the more that will be the case, that people will be encouraged to cry more and to let it out. You know? let it go. We were to have, you know, we have laughter workshops. Maybe we'd have crying workshops.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if actors are trained how to cry. I'm always impressed when I see, you know, the behind the scenes of a movie making or something, and you realise that they're actually really crying, rather than, you know, they're not just like water droplets that have been placed there and stuff like that.
But sometimes that is a spray.
Sometimes
it's a spray to make your eyes. Yeah.
A proper actor, like a real, like the top guys, they'll be able to turn on and off like that. I would have thought. Do you reckon?
Don't know, a lot of it, because I was a clapper boy for a while, and I watched these things going on. If someone needed to produce tears, there was a spray that they used, which I think it was a menthol spray or something like that, that made your eyes water, and then you'd screw your face up and appear like you were having a good one. Yeah.
You would find Gary Oldman doing that, though, or Dame Maggie, whatever her name is.
I don't know.
That you're going to set me off now, all my heroes.
Well, maybe we need a crying competition and see whether people can actually just create tears.
I wonder if I did want to cry, what I would think of, you know, what memory I would think, like, hold on to try and set myself going. That might be quite neat. Maybe that can be our resource.
People banning bicycles.
Oh, impossible. Yeah. Oh yeah, people going and buying electric cars because they think they're doing the world a favour. That sets me off.
I'll take it back then.
Yeah, you've got your e-bike. You're all right in my book, Sean.
Yeah, I'm good.
What's your resource of the week then?
Well, I put a book in here, which. It looks at crying from lots of different points of view, from scientific points of view and literary points of view, all kinds of stuff. So it's quite an interesting all-round look. It's called The Crying Book, indeed. So it's quite an interesting read. Yeah.
Cool. I've just downloaded an app today. It's not really crying related, but it's an app called Forest, which booted up. So, or plant a tree, that says. So I think the idea is it's an app that helps with focus. So you have to switch the app on and then you plant a tree and you tell it how long you want to be focused on a subject for or on a certain bit of work. And then the longer you can stay off your phone, the more the tree grows. And if you reach for it and you check Twitter or whatever, the tree dies. And I think you can grow forests. You can grow forests with it. And I think there's also something within it where if you complete a certain amount, they'll actually plant a real tree in the world for you. Cool little game for staying on track and staying focused.
So does that mean that if you left your phone at home when you went on holiday, you'd come back and there'd be a forest growing out of your phone?
Maybe, yeah, but who would leave their phone at home? Is that even possible? I'd be in tears.
Could be. Yeah.
So yeah, that's worth checking out. All right, anything else you want to mention, Sean?
No, I'm okay. I'm just saying that to cry is natural, it's normal, it's healthy, it's good. And if you feel yourself feeling up, never get to that point where you think, I need to push this down. You know, let it go. Let it out. Yeah? Let yourself be free.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, we'll leave it there then, Sean. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. You take care. Be happy.
See you later, everyone.
Bye. See you.